Welcome back to Yang Daily. I'll be your host, Alex Cheney, bringing you all the Yang news you need to live your life right. We've got some pretty exciting moves going on today. Let's get right into it. Seattle was subject to a very confusing and bizarre incident of gun violence at one of the protests today. There's video of a white man driving toward the crowd of protesters, with a black man running alongside and reaching into the driver's open window. The car stops just before hitting the crowd as the two struggle. Then the man in the car shoots the black man in the shoulder, exits the vehicle, wades through the crowd, and turns himself over to police. There are certainly a few different narratives that could and have been easily drawn from this, but it's all speculation for the moment. He may have intended to drive into the crowd, or he may have not. The other man may have been attacking him or just trying to prevent him driving into the crowd. Personally, I would guess the shooter was not intending to run anyone down, but that the other man assumed he was and tried to stop him. The driver perceived it as unjust assault and responded with his weapon, then went to the police to report the incident. I suspect this because there was nothing actually stopping the driver from running people over or shooting them, but he chose to do neither. Though it does concern me that he had an extended clip on his pistol, and what looks like two extra clips strapped to his lower arm, and I cannot imagine why that would be unless he expected trouble. It's possible that either he was planning harm and changed his mind, or was planning to do something only provocative and expecting to be attacked for it. Who knows? Again, only speculation. While we had some more depressing events in police brutality, such as New Orleans Police Department denying their use of rubber bullets and other projectile weapons, when they in fact did use them, there was some great news as well. First off, Minneapolis has decided to disband their police department. Sounds crazy, but exciting. What does it really mean? The details are still sketchy, but what we do know is they will be shifting some of their work traditionally done by police over to other professionals, such as sending the fire department EMTs when someone overdoses, or a mental health professional to handle people with mental health problems, as that is one of the most common cases for wrongful death. Basically, cops shouldn't be handling what they aren't trained to handle, and the people who are should. It will also include drawbacks like using cameras more for traffic enforcement and less violent methods such as unarmed, community-oriented street teams. This all fits closely with the defund police demands that you've no doubt seen flying around. The vagueness of that demand gives a lot of people the wrong impression of what's intended by it. It's actually pretty much this: taking funding for police officers and transferring it to other professionals who can better fill certain roles. There's a great graphic of it in the links below that you might want to bookmark. Indianapolis, on the other hand, is adopting the 8-can't-wait policy reforms for reducing police use of force. If you're unfamiliar with them, they are: 1. Create clear standards for use of deadly force. Can't believe that hasn't been done. 2. Update our requirement for identification and warning before deadly force. Again, yeah. 3. Prohibit the use of chokeholds. Obviously. 4. Outline clearly defined de-escalation requirements. Yep. 5. Define an officer's duty to intervene and report when another officer uses inappropriate force. You would have thought that goes without saying, but it should be said. 6. Prohibit shooting into or from moving vehicles. 7. Require comprehensive reporting of lethal and non-lethal uses of force. Duh. 8. Clearly specify rules for using various levels of less lethal force. Without rules on when and what force can be used, there can be no accountability. The rules can guide police to better practices, but also provide a framework for consequences when they act inappropriately. And, as Yang is fond of saying, you can't solve what you don't measure. So proper record-keeping of incidents is also vital. If you'd like more information on 8 Can't Wait, check the links below. Police in America killed over 600 people in 2015, a year in which Norway's police killed no one. In fact, Norway's police hadn't killed anyone for over a decade. Zero. Zip. Is Norway a different environment than the U.S.? Of course. Among other factors, they have a racially homogeneous society, which presents far fewer provocations for violence. But does it mean we should be able to do far better than we've been doing? Hell yes, it does. And we do well to study what's working in places like Norway. It looks like, at least in some places, that is happening. Let's hope people see the protests having an effect and keep it up until we get some real control over the process. As long as people are an afterthought in democracy, any progress made is likely to backslide, in my opinion. One of the changes we should make is likely putting more women in the force. As Yang pointed out today, only 12% of American police officers are women. I think it's pretty well proven that women, on average, are less aggressive than men. They certainly commit a tiny fraction of the violent crimes that men do. As such, there's a good argument to be made that having a female officer present may help temper the testosterone and check the more extreme behavior of male officers, but we'd have to look at the data. Andrew also tweeted out a TED Talk in which Dr. Phil, no, not that one, Dr. Phil Goff explains how he and his team have been using crime data to identify the most problematic situations for police and find alternative solutions, such as creating new mental health initiatives that solve such problems without the need for police to be called at all. We've also got some big politicians jumping on the bandwagon. Justin Amash tweeted today that he supports ending qualified immunity, civil asset forfeiture, the drug war, overcriminalization, no-knock warrants, militarization of the police, and mandatory minimums. That seems a pretty darn good list to me. Not a complete list of everything that needs to be done, but a pragmatic and sensible one. Civil asset forfeiture, by the way, if you don't know, is the ability of police to basically stop you and just take your stuff for suspecting that it's been involved in a crime, even though they never have to actually prove that it was involved in a crime, and they can just keep it. So basically, it's a law that allows the police to rob you free of consequence. Once again, I am impressed with Amash. I see much Yang in him. Mitt Romney, on the other hand, joined in the protests, much as Yang, Biden, Warren, and others have done. He said he is marching to end violence, brutality, and the disregard for black lives. It's not policy, of course, but it ain't nothing. Romney has consistently been the rational and principled voice of the Republican Party throughout the Trump presidency, in my opinion, so this does not surprise me, but it does please me. If you're looking for more resources to educate people on UBI, the Fund for Humanity has collaborated to create the bigexperience.org website, which has a card game about money and UBI, a film on Canada's Manitoba UBI experiment, and tools to help you host a UBI workshop in your community. That is bigexperience.org. Yang and Van Jones will both be speaking at an ADL leadership virtual meeting of over 500 leaders on the topic of racism and civil rights. The program will include workshops and speeches, as well as a recorded award ceremony with Mayor Cuomo, although I'm questioning whether that should be happening after his handling of police brutality in his own city recently. Finally, ACT.TV put together a short clip that does a great job of explaining some of the major mechanisms of institutional racism in America, which deny minorities equality of opportunity. It's a good one to share around. Hopefully it will help educate some white Americans who are unaware of the two-tiered system in which they live. That understanding is vital to reform. And that'll do it for today's Yang Daily. Check out and bookmark the Defund Police graphic, 8 Can't Wait Reforms, and Data TED Talk. Watch and spread the Forward United discussion and the anti-fascism video so we can save our country. Help spread the word on coordinating with protesters to give the movement clear policy goals. If you're going out to protest, wear protection, especially on your eyes, head, and throat. If you get arrested while protesting, remember not to say anything without a lawyer. Whatever you choose to do, be wise, be safe, and act with measured purpose toward real solutions. And don't forget to Yang Daily.